CliffCentral.com. All right. We are live on a Monday morning here to keep you company and to get you into the week. What is that, your back scratch, Leanne? Look at her. She's busy with her back scratch.
That feeling must be amazing. Oh, my God. I'm envious.
She's got a back scratcher out. Is that something you got for Christmas or you always had it?
Always had it, but I did give something similar as a gift.
Oh, yeah.
My mom, because she's in a wheelchair, she has one of those shower brushes with the long arm to like scratch her feet if she needs to. Oh, and my brother always grabs it and like does a bit of a back scratch. So I got him his own. Best thing ever.
I don't know so much. I can still reach all the parts of the back if I just get myself into the right position. But if I do it without thinking, I could seriously pull a muscle.
But there's
scratcher does things, eh?
Yeah, there's things that your fingers can't.
Really?
Yeah.
Should I get one?
Yeah. Yeah. And the other side, which I've never used yet, because I think this might be I might be cancelled with the rest of the Crocs group.
Okay.
But is a shoehorn.
Oh, no.
Not necessary.
You don't think you don't need a shoehorn? That's to get
I use it to like scratch the cats.
Oh, okay. All right. Shoehorn is useful if you can't get into a pair of shoes. You use that to push
when your feet have got too big.
You push your heel in. It's so gross. All right. Listen, the best things, Tracy says, are those metal head massages. Oh, man. Those things. I'll tell you what, I'm still convinced, and I'm going to bloody well do it. If I don't do it, no one else will. I'm opening up that back scratching place where you can go and just get a back scratch, right? Think about it. Look at how you two
do it.
Look at how you two just reacted to that stupid machine that you have to operate yourself. Imagine you can go and sit somewhere, Flax.
The thing is, you need it.
You can just pull your shirt up.
You need it at the oddest of times, though.
Then we got to open up branches everywhere. Then you should be able to pop out of work and instead of using your lunch hour just to eat, you can eat and get a back scratch. Wouldn't that be nice?
No, they need to be posted out, like, you know, the people who sell creepy crawlies in Pick and Pay or like little samples of food. They should be walking around ready to scratch. So you can just raise your hand and then they come and do it immediately.
All right, but
while you're in the pasta aisle.
Now, what's a good price? I mean, what would you be willing to pay? What's reasonable?
Well, how long is the scratch for?
Well, let's say you can get a 10-minute one or you can get a half an hour one.
Like, for me to be a returning customer, I think I would pay, like, between 40 and 60 Rand for 10 minutes back scratch.
How much?
With, like, low intensity. It doesn't have to – you're not taking my dead skin off.
No. This is a fun, gentle thing. If you want a massage or an exfoliation, that's a whole different thing. This is purely, like, a relaxing, fun thing.
I'd pay 40 to 60 Rand. If well manicured, like nails, even those nail extensions, really nice, feel nice.
Ass, what would you pay?
Yeah, I would agree. It sounds good. But I don't know. I'd probably end up saving money and just carry this in my handbag.
Probably.
I've got the one that retracts to this, and as soon as you want to use it, you just extend it.
Yeah, there you know, Harmin says you could send out ads everywhere to trigger people who want to have their back scratched. Do the scratchers need a matric? You see, we could also create huge amounts of employment because you wouldn't need a matric to do this, right?
No.
Oh.
Correct.
All right. Well, let's leave that alone for a moment because we've got a whole bunch of other things to talk about. We only got one headline out of the way. That was the matric pass rate, and then we got into such a temper about that we didn't even move on to other things. So there are a few other headlines I want to get to just now. But you are done with CrossFit, Flex. This is a big thing because you were a big CrossFit guy, and you've decided it is a cult and you don't want to be involved anymore, right?
So not because it's a cult. It's a great like movement and a feeling of like being a part of something.
Sure.
I did CrossFit for 2 years and it broke my body. Like my knees, I have to go see a knee guy this week. My knees are messed up. I feel like CrossFit is the kind of sport where you need extreme dedication. Those guys that do CrossFit, it's not like gym. It's a way of life. It dictates your eating. Every day you're doing CrossFit. I felt like if I'd missed like 1 week, you were 6 weeks behind. CrossFit is more of a lifestyle. And I applaud those that do CrossFit. I feel like guys and girls that do CrossFit are like in their peak of optimal fitness. Mm-hmm. And it broke me from not being dedicated enough. So I ruled out this year that CrossFit, I can't do CrossFit because of the dedication you need to give to it. And I'm now back to normal gym.
It's really intense.
Strong. It's insane.
It's huge intense. I also did it for about a year, and you do become addicted to it. You don't want to miss out on a week because it's you know you're going to be killed, but it's really exciting to see what you're going to be doing next. I also gave in when I was doing tire jumps and I fell backwards and broke my hand. And I wet myself at the same time because of the pain. So I didn't go back.
What a disaster.
But, it's very intense. Wow. I wouldn't recommend it for someone in their 40s to just start trying immediately. You've like been fit before.
Some things you have to take very slowly and you have to be very careful about because, you know what? Mm. There are like professionals and then there are those people who are just like the rank amateurs who are really crappy at it. Don't know what they're doing. They need all the help they can get, but they don't know where to start. And I admire that at least Flax is in this case, he's being honest. He's like, not for me. I can't dedicate myself to it properly in order to do it properly. I'm just going to leave this to other people, right? That's kind of where it is. You're not turning your back on the cult because they're going to
I think it's great. I admire those that do it. They are like in optimal peak fitness. And I liked like going to the class and everything was sorted for you. The entire program, the entire workout was focused at certain body parts or techniques. And now going back to normal gym, I actually have to plan myself what I'm doing. I like go into Google and I take screenshots of different exercises for arms and I'm trying to figure out if I'm doing it right, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And personal trainers are so expensive. I can't go down that route.
It's still the best way to do it though. I've got to give personal trainers some kudos here because I went to gym for like 2.5 years without knowing what the hell I was doing before somebody eventually said to me, and it was a girl, she said to me, "You are messing around. You might as well not bother coming to gym if you're going to carry on doing that stupid shit." And then she taught me better ways of doing things. So she, spent, I think it was about two and a half years with me, and then I suddenly found like I was able to understand. Because let's also face it, you don't know what you're doing. Just like anything, you can't just get a 30% pass like Angie Mocheja wants us to do. You have to actually immerse yourself in it, put a bit of effort in, and then do it properly. There's no half measures. You've got to do things right.
Yeah.
Very true.
I had a personal trainer who was from he was from Cameroon.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember speaking to a friend of mine and saying, I've got a personal trainer. He's from Cameroon. And at that time, there was a very popular clothing store called Cameroon.
Oh.
And my friend said, "Oh, from where? In Eastgate." We had like a book of things that she would say that were really stupid. And that was one of them. And all another personal trainer I had, he had an accent kind of like Mark's.
Yeah.
And so when he said the number 5, so he would go, "Come on now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And every time he got to the number 5, I'd be canning myself. So that didn't work out either.
Oh, okay. A couple of headlines here quickly. Oh, by the way, you see, George says it is turning into a religion. It's too obsessive. So he agrees with me.
You do. You get addicted to like taking your body to the next level and being like, "Oh my God, didn't know I could do this." But eventually, if you don't like maintain your body and eat right and build your like internal muscles, you just, it caves in later on.
Carlos says, "Flax, try high intensity boxing. Apparently better results than CrossFit with less pain."
I've tried boxing. I lost like 2 minutes. It is insane boxing because you're just pounding. Yeah. And then after 2 minutes, you're just like, "Oh my God, I can't do this longer."
No, it's hectic. From CrossFit to poison candles, Lias, says propaganda.
Yeah. The poison candle.
Sometimes...
No, in fact, I've got it here.
Oh, there it is. Look at that. That's the dangerous poison candle. So, so does it fill your room with smoke? Sure, you just got a hit of that.
No, not smoke. Yeah, not smoke. It's kind of, candles are quite oily substances. Mm. So, for instance, I had a glass of water next to it, and in the morning I could see little like wax remnants in the water. Oof. Yeah,
not healthy. Definitely not healthy.
I think it's probably fine to put it on and then blow it out before you go to sleep. That's what I reckon.
Tammy says, I do high intensity intermittent training twice a week, 35 minutes a session, and combine that with swimming, walking, and biking. Motion is lotion, folks. You need to look after your joints. Well, that's good. That's good advice all around. But back to your candle. Yes, Flax, you wanted to say?
I think that, I don't know, this is just a concept, and maybe they already do this, but imagine you burnt that candle and then it turned into like a soft oil. Mm. And then you just put the oil on your body before you go to bed, and that would stop the mosquitoes coming anywhere near you. Instead of the fumes.
I think that's kind of – that candle is of a brand that you could buy that is – you get the – like the stick that you can actually
– Yeah, you get creams, roll-ons, sprays. I use the sprays too. And what I do during load shedding is I have my – I kept my lantern, and I go around the house like and just spray anything that's flying around.
Like Florence Nightingale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it now.
Not that sort of lantern.
Leanne walking around with her lantern with gas that she has to turn a little thing on the side, and it makes a little flame.
Leanne, you and I both wear glasses. And I was at a bar this weekend, and one of my mates had LASIK eye surgery, and I visited this topic maybe 10 years ago. And back then it sounded like the worst experience ever. And he told me now you book an appointment, you go in 3 days later, it takes maybe 5-7 minutes. Within 3 hours, you're driving again as if nothing happened. And I was like, umming and ahhing if I should do it. And then he goes to me, would you like to wake up in the morning and the first thing you see is what you see? And it's not blurry until I put glasses or contact lenses on. Would you ever do LASIK?
I would love to. For me, it's a money issue. Medical aids don't necessarily cover it because some medical aids want you to carry on going to the optometrists and getting glasses and paying for contact lenses and eye tests. So if it was paid for, I would definitely do it. I'd be as scared as anything, but no, my brother did it, and he absolutely, it's changed his life.
I mean, with the new technology, I also don't understand why medical aids don't pay for it. You literally can't see, like it's a medical condition or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd love to.
I haven't
to
thought
it.
About it for a while, but I think I'll investigate it again. See what medical aids up to.
Of waking up in the morning and you open your eyes and you just see, you can literally see instead of having to look for glasses or your contact lenses, and then you see, like, feels like I'm wasting.
Do you guys, do you know whether contact lenses are more or less popular now? Because I get the feeling like glasses, there's not really the stigma that there used to be around glasses. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Some people will wear glasses with just clear lens, you know, normal lenses, because it changes their face shape, or it's fashionable, or it goes with their outfit.
Yeah,
there's definitely it's changed a lot. But I think once you're a contact lens wearer, you probably always will be.
And it's not as easy as you think to get into contact lenses. Like your eyes, like sometimes push them out, or you battle to get them in. I couldn't wear contact lenses. My like eyelids kept pushing them out, or they were too strong and wouldn't let me put them in. And then from COVID, I couldn't wear the glasses and the mask. And eventually I just did it so many times that now I do contact lenses, but I'd love to not do anything and just see.
Oh yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. I'm asking though, because I don't know whether, you know, maybe we should get an optometrist or someone like that who might know these things on a statistical level. I just think contact lenses are probably not as popular as they once were. I mean, you can get this LASIK surgery if you've got a bit of money or your medical aid are prepared to pay for it. And otherwise, you wear glasses. It's not a big deal. Right?
The thing comes, when it comes to sport, we were talking about gymming and CrossFit and sweating.
Yeah.
You're not going to be wearing your glasses, that's for sure.
But don't, aren't contact lenses just as bad in that situation?
No.
No,
they're better. Once your eyes are used to them, it's good.
And like things you take for granted, like the number one thing I wish I could do is lie in bed and watch TV with my head on the pillow. And you can't
happening.
But that is what I look forward to the most if I get LASIK eye surgery. Like that tiny little thing.
You know,
yeah.
So it costs. Costs somewhere in the range of 25,000 rand to get LASIK, which is sounds like a lot, but it considering that it's going to improve your life in so many ways, and the two of you are talking about it like you really want it, it's worth doing. You know, yeah, get it.
So the quote I saw was 60,000, which is very steep.
No, get it done for like 25, according to the research that that someone's just sent to me now. Medical aides don't pay because they pay less on average over time for you to wear glasses. So they would prefer for you to wear glasses.
Wow.
But,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of like, you know, this whole situation that I've been whinging and moaning about, and people are going to be thrilled to hear this. I'm not so thrilled from my bank balance's point of view, but I'm putting in solar this week. I've just decided it's
You're finally doing it.
Well, it's impossible to if you're going to live in South Africa and you can and you don't, you're an idiot. Because first of all, I do not want to bore everyone who listens to this show to death. And there are lots of people who listen to this show who are not in South Africa. They don't want to hear about load shedding every day. So I think it's mostly to get me stop talking about it and make the show a little bit more interesting and less load shedding. In the discussions, but it's also because, I mean, I think we're all working more from home these days. And despite the fact that we are, you know, going to be in the office more this year than we were in the last 2 years, and I'm thrilled about that, I still want to be able to, at night, not have to do what you were talking about, Florence Nightingale with your lantern. And I thought about it and I thought, you know what, I'd rather spend the money and figure out how to make it back, because I also, with this Eskom tariff going up, you saw over the weekend, 18% increases. That's all anyone was talking about over the weekend too, that NERSA have given the go-ahead for Eskom to hike their prices by 18%. You know, if only we could hike them a trick pass rate by 18%, maybe we'd have smarter people to work at Eskom. But there
we go. Yeah, for sure.
No.
You know, there's also the option, some people are taking this option, is to rent. You can rent solar power for about 1,500 grand a month.
That's
whatever you know.
Smart. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It's probably going to end up. NERSA is the National Energy Regulator of South Africa. Now, the irony with places. What happened? What the hell was that? Jesus, Leanne, what the hell happened?
It was a spider.
Oh. Jesus, you're nervous about spiders, huh? You just freaked out completely. I just think, so Flax, the funny thing about NERSA is it's meant to be an independent regulator. It's meant to, you know, kind of look after the consumer and everything and take our interests into consideration. Apparently, Eskom went to them and said, we need a 32% increase. And they were like, no,
they wanted.
Yeah. And then these guys at NERSA, who also are like mostly political appointments, I just wish, you know, if we wanted to sort out 80% of our problems in this country, it would just be to stop this nonsense of putting people who are not the best people into a job. Like, if you run Eskom, you need to be the smartest possible guy or girl. You need to have a degree in engineering, and you need to be able to manage people, and you need to have the resources at your disposal, like the you know, crack team of security people you can dispatch by like whatever means necessary to stop people from sabotaging the power plants and the cables and all of that stuff. we would sort it out. I'm just really, really broken about the fact that we keep on appointing people who are in merit have no ability all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to destroy us. It's just crazy. I see lots of people organizing marches and things. So we'll keep an eye. We'll let you know how that goes.
What is the foundation now that we don't have enough electricity? Is the coal still getting wet?
Flex. So first of all, we haven't been maintaining our infrastructure. So across the board, I promise you, I'm not going to make this a long explanation. I'm just going to go into the basic top line stuff. So we've had a couple of experts on over the last year and a half, 2 years. Because let's face it, it's never been as bad as it is now, right? Obviously.
It's horrible.
Right. Apparently, the infrastructure has not been maintained at all. Obviously, the coal is part of the problem, but it's not the biggest part of the problem. There's a whole lot of supply and demand issues at stake here, because also we've got lots of people who are supplying to Eskom on contracts that are a little bit dodgy. They're not supplying the best coal. That also doesn't help the power plants to run properly, because if they burn coal that is inferior, it damages the actual plant. It creates, byproducts like sulfuric acid, which do damage to the actual metal parts of these plants. The people who are running it are also not running it properly. So it hasn't been run by people who actually gave a shit about how it ran. They were looking to make money for themselves. Eskom became almost like a sheltered employment organization for thousands of people who got jobs there. It's also obviously a way for lots of people who are connected politically to make money, which they did. So if you could supply this, or you could do a maintenance contract here, or you could do that, then you could get some money out of Eskom. So you had a whole lot of politicians appointing people that they were related to or that they knew, who then benefited from this financially. And if you don't spend money on maintenance in a huge organization like Eskom, it falls apart very, very quickly. And there's no political will to sort it out, because South Africans just take whatever you dish out at them. We're like an abused spouse. We sit and wait for the next beating. And government obviously are getting away with their beatings, just like they pretend to care about gender-based violence, and they don't. They don't care about committing the atrocities they commit against the South African people on a daily basis. So catered deployment's a big part of that, according to Tracy, too, and I agree with her. It's resulted in people being put in positions that are way above their pay grade and way outside of their lanes.
I watched a video that the DA has put out. It's not something I would normally seek out to watch, but it came up on my feed. And what they're doing with electricity in the Western Cape is quite phenomenal. There's obviously only a certain amount they can do without being right at the top, or, you know, being able to speak to the ministers directly, although they've tried. But small things like with people who do have solar power, I don't quite know how it works, but there is excess power that they don't need, and that is fed back into the grid, and they'll actually be paid to do that.
Genius.
You'll be paid for. Yeah, it's like they really are quite far ahead, and they've reached out quite a bit with letters giving exact instructions on how this could work, bringing in private businesses and enterprises.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's political. It's mainly political.
Dusty Nose says, what are you guys worried about? Gwede said he'll sort load shedding out in 6 to 12 months. Chill, guys. Yeah, Gwede. Exactly. Gwede Mantashe.
No chance.
Yeah, there's no chance.
Does Eskom take into taxes? Like, we pay electricity, are they allowed to dig into tax money as well?
Well, the government is – we're sitting with debt. The biggest portion of our national debt is due to Eskom. And you know what the other problem is? Is that certain places have not been paying, certain municipalities have not been paying for their electricity. So, you know, for example, you pay the city of Joburg for your electricity, right? They're meant to then pay Eskom for Johannesburg. So they take the money and then they pay Eskom for that. You don't pay Eskom directly. You've noticed that your debit order doesn't go to Eskom, it goes to the city of Joburg. Now, in some municipalities, a large proportion of them, a large percentage of them, they just haven't been paying Eskom. So how are you meant to run a business and people aren't paying for it, right?
That is so messed up.
So it's a disaster from top to bottom. And this is what happens when you get useless people in charge. You couldn't get more useless people than the ANC to run this thing. Anyway, the DA are planning they are planning a march to Luthuli House, apparently. This is what John Steenhuisen said. So this is in the news this morning. Consumers must join in a march against the ANC's destruction of the country's energy infrastructure. We will specifically target Luthuli House because this is the scene of the crime, he says. Over the past 3 decades, decisions were made to deploy the corrupt and incompetent cadres who plundered and destroyed Eskom. So if you want to join that, then go ahead and join them. Let's see what happens. I mean, a lot of people are going to say, what's the point of a march? What are you going to achieve? But at least they're going to do something. What are you doing? Sitting complaining about it at home with your family? That does even less.
We must just time the march during load shedding so that we don't miss out on cooking time at home.
Well, we've got to wash our clothes, you know.
Well, okay. Yeah. So I was thinking about this because I'm not a cook. I'm not the sort of person who spends a lot of time in the kitchen. But if you wanted to do like lamb, like lamb kleftico, the way the Greeks do it, that's like a good 6 hours in the oven. Now, if you have level 6 load shedding, you can't do that. It's not going to work.
No.
And the oven, oven takes a huge amount of power as well. So it's now going to cost you 18% more. We're going to have to start.
Yeah, I joined the air fryer club.
Yeah, we're going to have to start cooking and eating differently in South Africa. I wonder if it's going to change our diets. Mm. Other thing is, imagine all these people who've spent huge amounts of money on electric fencing. You've driven through Joburg. Virtually every second house has an electric fence on it, if not every house. What's the point of that if there's load shedding? Mm-hmm. You can't electrify your fence, right? Waste the money.
I feel like crying. Stop.
Okay, let's stop. Let's stop.
We need Elon Musk. Come here for a day and sort it all out.
All right. Well, here's a story that could interest you. I mean, you know who Tim Cook is? He's the
CEO of Apple.
Correct. So he has decided to cut his pay by 40% this year. He's requested the cut after criticism from shareholders. Apparently, his compensation committee awarded him a total target compensation of $49 million for 2023, which is a lot. It's a lot. Mm. Last year, the iPhone maker's shares fell sharply in the face of supply chain issues. The compensation committee balanced shareholder feedback, Apple's exceptional performance, and a recommendation from Mr. Cook to adjust his compensation. So it'll see his annual basic salary unchanged at $3 million a year. He'll get a bonus of up to $6 million a year. The biggest difference is that he'll be awarded less shares in the firm now. Shame. It's going to be really hard for him. In 2022, they granted him $75 million worth of shares, half of which were based on how well they performed at the stock market. So, I mean, he's earned this. It's not as if, it's not as if he's been running the place so badly that it's falling apart, like, the ANC run Eskom, for example. But he's just brought it down. He reckons that's a little bit too much. He also, of course, gets to I think it's $630,000 a year in personal security costs because, he's a target, and $712,000 a year for the use of a private jet, which is nice.
Jeez. He probably also gets a free iPhone, which is like $600,000 a year.
I was going to say, just getting your free iPhone that makes it worthwhile. But, we often talk about how much the CEO of Apple or the big CEOs of various companies earn. And people get really annoyed. They go, it's so unfair that the CEO earns 200,000 times what the lowest wage earner in a company earns. But this is what happens if you have a Tim Cook at the top.
They earned it, I'm sorry.
A political muppet, someone who was put there by politicians who ruins the place. Like if Eskom was making millions of dollars now and they were actually running like a proper company and were able to supply us with electricity, we wouldn't worry about what the CEO is being paid, would we? I wouldn't complain if it was being run properly. So if you're going to moan that CEOs earn too much, then I want you to justify how you can, pay peanuts and get monkeys, which is kind of that's the old saying. If you're not going to pay for the best people to do something, you're going to get the worst people to do it, and it's going to end up costing you more in the long run. Anyway.
And his money's in shares, so like he wants the company to do well, so he makes money.
Yeah, right.
It's like It's a great principle, that.
I think so. I wonder if this is interesting to you. It certainly caught my eye. Apparently, there's a big shakeup for fast food restaurants, including KFC and Nando's. So some of South Africa's favorite fast food chains are struggling with stock and being forced to close as load shedding is hampering their operations. Mm. In December last year, KFC announced that load shedding had impacted the supply of some essential menu items. The company is not alone in its struggle. Mike Cathy, who is the CEO of Nando's South Africa, told the Sunday Times, "The intensifying blackouts are leading to a supply crunch on chicken, which is threatening the company's fresh food supply." He said that while none of the restaurants have closed, it continues to be really tough to manage this across the national footprint. "As long as load shedding remains, so do the significant threats to the fresh food supply. We can expect to have a continued tough year ahead." This is what they're saying. Apparently, they say that they've suffered a direct loss of 126 million rand due to power cuts.
Jeez.
Heavy going. That's really
And can you imagine the food waste and how difficult it is to figure out how much food you actually need? You've had to change your business's entire structure because of load shedding.
I saw over this weekend that in some mall, a Woolworths, there was load shedding, but then the mall's generator wasn't working. They had to throw everything in the fridge away. Everything. Yep. Like what a waste, all due to just load shedding.
Like that, it's not it's infuriating.
That happened at the shop up the road from me. Apparently their little, you just call it a substation or their whatever that box is, that it's right next to the road and someone drove into it. So they had a big problem and they had to clean out their fridges basically every day. They had to, I don't know whether they took the stuff to another place or whatever, and then they had to bring it back. But it's just a nightmare, and I don't know how you're expected to, you know, to run a business where you need free. You know, I spoke about the guy who ran an ice cream business, and he just couldn't do that anymore because his generator costs. You know, you have to sell a lot of ice cream to pay for the diesel in your generator.
Yeah.
So eventually, it just doesn't become sensible.
Yeah.
So Tracy sent a picture to us. About the Eskom Push app, which, by the way, is the most useful thing ever. And the guy who designed that is a genius. When we hit stage six, apparently they changed the hazard icon to a Weber Braai. You want to see it?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go, Leanne.
Oh, my God. That is genius.
And there it is. Yeah, there. That's awesome.
I love their sense of humor. They actually had a bit of a plea out the other day saying, please rate on the App Store. It's like, you know, because they're getting a lot of one stars because people think that they're Eskom.
Oh, no.
They're not.
Oh, no, that's horrible. Yeah.
This app works, and it is amazing.
Hey, listen, Ginger Winger says, anarchy in the streets if we ran out of chicken. Do you agree? Maybe that'll be the thing that turns
everything around. Soon you'll go to KFC and get like the load shedding meal, which is like a par-cooked chicken and a bag of coal.
You'll have to do it yourself. Yeah. Take it home and put it on the braai. Oh, well, I mean, they really are testing us, you know, our resilience as South Africans, right? How much can these people take? Let us turn our attention to something that I know will make you feel a little bit better, because we've been obviously going into December and you probably haven't thought about all of this stuff. But we need to get our heads back into the game. And I think it's time for us to relaunch Markets Mondays with a big bang. And that's what we're going to do today. So whether you're a new trader who's looking for a safe place to start or an experienced trader looking for low spreads, multi-assets, and high tech, you will find Markets.com suits you perfectly. And I've seen a couple of their ads now on social media. So I've got to congratulate Solomon and his team on the good work that they're doing there on that front. But we need to know what to do with our money, and this is the best place to figure it out. Markets Mondays, where we can check on all the different things that are going on in the market. Solomon, it's good to see you. How are you?
Morning, Gareth. I'm good. Are you well?
I'm very good, man, and happy new year. I hope it's going to be an awesome year. I see you guys at markets.com all over social media. I've seen a lot of your ads over the last couple of weeks, and it looks like it's going really well. Obviously, we're back in the game now. We're back. It's January. People are thinking about money. They're thinking about investment. They're thinking about what to do this year, how they want to do things differently. Let's just start at the very beginning, because it's always useful for us to just cast our mind back, because we've been working with you guys at markets.com for a couple of months now. But give us a basic idea of why markets.com is an interesting place for you to start, you know, either if you've never done it before, experimenting with investment, trying out some different options, and you really have lots and lots of options. We'll talk about those too. Or if you're an experienced trader, why you should use this platform. Give us the basic sales pitch that you'd give to someone if they asked you in the lift, for example.
Yeah, I mean, Gareth, I think the important part of markets.com is that we don't build products, we don't build platforms, we don't even deploy tech just because we think it looks cool, it looks sexy, and it works. We do it because the marketplace wants it. So we've listened to our consumer, we've listened to traders, we've listened to those who use the platform extensively, we listen to our partners that deploy it on our behalf, and we kind of said, okay, what is it the market needs? So we've created access to assets, to portals, to exchanges. We've come up with creative product ideas. We've deployed very creative partnership programs with our introducing brokers, with our affiliates. And so the platform is a nice portal to get people into trading, but in a very responsible way. One of the things we've kind of focused on in 2022 was education. Mm. And we've put out a lot of videos about how to trade responsibly, how to access certain instruments, and how to have a high level of confidence when you're trading. I think that's the differentiator. So we see it as the marketplace for where traders should coexist with markets.com.
It's funny. So Carl in the comments says, good to ask in the lift because the markets are always up and down, which is hilarious. So Solomon, I mean, I've spoken to you about this before, but one of the most interesting things about this is that you obviously have, and you mentioned education, you guys have to operate in an environment where people are often looking for the info, and you've got great information on markets.com. You guys have resources in various parts of the world. If you want to trade on the New York Stock Exchange, you need to know what you're doing. If you want to buy crypto, you need to know what you're doing. If you're interested in investing in property or in gold or in anything else, you really need to be up to date. And you can't, it's not just like going into a casino and placing your chips on black or red. You have to know what you're doing, right? And it's becoming more and more more competitive. And that's why resources like you guys and the various people that you can connect us to all over the world, and we've spoken to some of them on this show, that's massively important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think information, we've always spoken about information and how key information is to traders and to investors. So absolutely, information is important. But I'd also caution that when you're reading information, just understand what are you reading, because every piece of information on markets, on instruments, it's pretty much an analyst view. And of course, if analysts knew better, everyone would be very rich and very wealthy. It's not that. So when you're reading the information, read the information, but get to the point where you're ready to very calculatingly put something onto the books and take responsibility for whether you're doing it for retirement, you're doing it purely as a day trader, but put it on the books. Too much of analysis can be paralysis. So when you analyze, mm-hmm. Take the information, take it with the legitimate source that it comes from, but at the end of the day, know where your entry point is, know where your stop loss is if it does not go your way, and exit that. Because if you think about it, a lot of people quite comfortably put money with big funds, with some of these brokers to mm-hmm. trade on a discretionary basis. Now, they're doing pretty much the same thing you could be doing for yourself. Right. So they're not doing anything different. They don't know more than you do. They have access to the same public information, and they trade on the same level of confidence that you would trade by yourself. So information is key, but I say get to the point where you're ready to execute. If not, you miss out on the opportunity of an entry level or an exit level for that matter.
All right. So I'm just going to sketch the scenario, and then you can fill us in where you can add some value here for us. So obviously 22 was a year of volatility. A lot of people are still reeling from that. They're talking about recession in the United States, the unexpected movers. We're going to recap some of the key moments and the surprises of last year, just to give people context again, as well as what lessons we can learn moving into 2023. This is going to be something that we will do with Markets Mondays. We will speak to all the people that we can, get insights from leading market experts, talk about advanced strategies that will help you on your trading journey. And Solomon is the managing director, for those people who don't know, of Finalto in South Africa, who are global market specialists, traders, and he's a seasoned banker and trader himself. He's been in this business for a very long time. And they, of course, operate markets.com here. So let's just talk about last year, because we talked about a trading strategy around the South African stock market, dual listed stocks, currency pairs, crypto, other indices. Going back into that discussion, Solomon, what happened in these areas and what can we expect going forward? There are not great indicators coming out of places like America right now. People are wondering where the hell to put their money. Are you clearer?
Gareth, we're not clearer, but we're kind of more informed, I'd say, purely because it's our profession to sit on the market, sit on platforms and assess these things. So I look at five anecdotal pieces of data that we spoke about last year. Firstly, we spoke about the trading plan, have a trading plan, execute a trading plan. And if you did that, I mean, I did that personally on my portfolio, and I back tested some of the stocks I held in dual listed. So if you did that, you'd find that, for example, on the test I did, if I took a dual listed stock and just traded it simply on the SA exchange or traded it directly onto the US exchange using the US dollars or using Rand, I would have made 40% throughout the year. If I traded it using a currency overlay, so when I say currency overlay, is that I never traded it in the domestic currency. I never traded that stock in dollars or Rand. I traded the US stock out of a Rand base, or I traded the Rand stock out of a US base. I'd have probably added on another 20% onto my profits. Now, that's not a given, and it's definitely, hindsight is good science, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you back test it, you definitely come up with the results to inform what decisions you will make going forward. Now, that's one. The second one is, we looked at the SA 40. We talked a lot about the SA 40. The SA 40 has moved to something like 15,000 points. If you look at it from the low of 2020, 35,000 points, it's now trading at 73,000 points.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, it went through a 10,000, 12,000 point move. So the SA 40 offered you a lot of opportunity as a trader. Specifically, some of the sector stuff inside the SA 40 was the big constituent contributors, mining and finance.
Right.
Then we spoke a little bit about the crypto, and I'm not going to labor the point on crypto because we saw people got burnt on crypto. FTX was the result of it, and FTX owed interest in a lot of exchanges across the world. So unfortunately, the knock-on effect is spiraling. Indices, I think globally, you're right, in the US, people are concerned about where do you park cash. US is not a cheap trading destination because items like over-the-counter derivatives and over-the-counter instruments are not readily available on New York in the US.
Mm.
You pretty much got to go to find an exchange price, and so it becomes quite expensive. But I'd say as a day trader, the thing that pretty much causes markets to fall quite rapidly, it could be considered securities, enhanced derivatives. But the thing that rectifies markets fast is also derivatives.
Now, you need to know what you're doing if you're going to talk derivatives. But looking into the future, what developments are you guys actually planning from markets.com in 2023? Because you're always doing new things. You actually mentioned this in the introduction. You said, you know, you're developing new products and trying to be creative about the way that these things work. What are you developing for 23?
Gavin, we'll continue to focus our efforts on awareness, marketing, and education. We see that as the core pillars of our business, and it's quite responsible.
Mm-hmm.
The marketing efforts, we're really excited, and we're going to sign on an ambassador for 2023, someone, the public, the South African, not just the South African public, by the way, the global, the international public knows really well. And we'll sign on that individual, an astute individual, somewhat of a guy who's been trading, but he's also considered a celebrity amongst most people. So we'll put an ambassador in, and we'll create a lot of awareness in the market. Our commitment is to Africa, not just South Africa. So as a continental player, we'll increase our exposure, we'll pay greater access to resources, we'll employ more people out of the SA economy and outside of South Africa on the continent. And so as a business, I think we can stand proud of ourselves that we are truly a African broker for the Africa, for the African people.
I love it. Are you gonna tell us who that ambassador is? You were very cryptic over there.
I mean, Gareth, the first celebrity we signed on was yourself.
It's not me, though. I'm not your trading ambassador. Let's just be clear.
No, sure. I think we'll wait to play. Let that play out. But it's going to be exciting. It's really going to be exciting. We'll make a lot of noise in the marketplace. And I think, if people want to meet him, we'll have events in Joburg. We'll have events in Cape Town. We'll have events around a lot of the sporting and financial fraternity, and we can get him involved. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity for our clients, our traders, our partners to get involved and come meet our ambassador.
All right. Again, this is by no means financial advice, but are there emerging trends that we should be paying attention to this year? You know, your advice to people who are maybe entering the market for the first time in 2023. And because we were all burnt last year in various ways, shapes and forms, and because the world economy is still struggling to get going, what areas are you most excited about looking ahead?
So, Gareth, I think we're going to have much of the 2022 rollover into 2023, except it might be a little bit more exaggerated. I'd say traders going to become a little bit more conservative. I don't think we're going to see the aggression we've seen in 2023, especially when it comes to the instruments you trade. Now, don't be like me and go and refinance the house and put it into trades on a whim, not telling your wife, and next thing you're carrying a huge bond out to pay it off. But I think you're going to see a lot of conservative traders in the marketplace trading. They're going to gravitate to more traditional stuff. You mentioned the recessionary factor. You mentioned inflationary, global inflation, by the way. It's also followed by we're going to see a period of high interest rates, which means that you're not going to have that cheap money chasing inflated asset pricing. So that's gone. There's going to be somewhat I'll call real value back into assets. So I think the trend is you're going to see the energy crisis play out. You're going to see higher bond yields definitely as we try to curb the inflation factor. You're going to see the global recession take effect. EV vehicles coming in. I'd watch India closely as they make a play for filling the gap in this whole superpower, economic power.
Yes.
I don't think it's going to be a 2023, but I'll watch it carefully. I keep an eye closely on Nigeria, not for now, but Nigeria as I'd say even past 10 years, but watch Nigeria as they start to become the big dogs in Africa. But having said all of that, I don't believe there's a bubble in 2023. Now, some might call a rates bubble. Some might call I wouldn't say crypto is a bubble. It didn't lose enough to be a bubble, but I don't think we're going to see any big bubble in 2023.
Well, that's probably good news. Bubbles are terrible for everybody. With continuing inflation, I mentioned this already, the looming recession, so many people are worried about surprises. So I'm glad to hear about the bubbles. Any other things that you think that no one is talking about that we need to be aware of, that we need to be careful about? I mean, we've spoken pretty much for an hour this morning about load shedding and the impact of that on the economy. And people have been very bullish about alternative energy for a long time. But are there any other things that you could say are looking rather like either big concerns? The power situation in South Africa is a very big concern for businesses. Or things that you think are major opportunities, because they go hand in hand.
Yeah, I wouldn't say big surprises. I don't, you know, as South Africans, we've been through quite a bit with load shedding, as you mentioned, and a few other events in South Africa. But I'd say it's not a surprise, but Eskom is going to be Eskom, and we're going to have a sustained period of load shedding.
Sure.
You're going to see that, however, and we've seen it already in the past for the good couple of years now, that the offshore portfolio managers, for some reason, love Eskom bonds. For as long as Eskom is in crisis, their bonds price high, their yields are good, and their PMs will fill up EM, emerging market risk, from South Africa, purely because South Africa is a great destination for hot money. You can move fast in, you can move fast out. So the entry and exit is quick. So PMs love our bonds, including some of our govies, but Eskom bonds is a highlight. You'd rather go to South Africa and pick up some corporate activity than having to go to Turkey, Brazil, or Russia and fill up on EM there. So there won't be surprises, but you'll see this this looming crisis. It's not really an urgency for as long as we are traded heavily. I'd also say, if I look at the dynamic, and this is my personal observation in South Africa, we understand that there's always this concept between socialism and capitalism, and where's the middle road. We've kind of found out that they can coexist, right? They right. definitely can coexist. But I do believe that there's going to be capital, the capital markets, the private sector. It's going to be a big drive from the private sector that'll really create the impetus in the economic, especially in South Africa. It'll be seen in other parts of the world as well. The US is also a pretty good example of this. UK is a pretty good example, but I think you'll see a massive drive coming out of the private sector, and don't look to government for increasing social spend and all that. I think people must take responsibility, must be quite aware that the private sector will drive growth. Earnings in your pocket is going to come from pretty much private sector. We've seen still foolish statements from our politicians, especially when it came to like education and stuff like that. That don't hold water. And I'm glad to say the people I speak to, Gareth, even the youngsters that we engage with at a markets level in this boardroom, they're quite astute, they're quite learned, they're becoming more informed, they're smart in their thinking, and I'm really, really excited because amidst all the crisis, we've seen an educated population coming to the fore.
I like that. I like that very much. Congo Chris says, Solomon, whatever you do, don't buy Eskom shares. And luckily, we can't. So that's good news.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, thank you so much. Solomon Gondon is from markets.com. You can go and check them out immediately at markets.com. It's very, very cool. They've also got a special link from cliffcentral.com where you can register with them. You'll get a 30% bonus on your deposit. Now, who doesn't want that? Go and take a look at it. They're also on all the social media, markets.com.sa, markets.com.sa on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and on LinkedIn and YouTube. Make sure you go and follow them ASAP. Solomon, good to see you, and all the best for this year. Let's hope we make lots of money, right?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Gareth, and best to you and your team as well.
Very good. Thank you. Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to make lots of money this year? This could be the year.
Such a cool job, like to trade and work with the shares and research the companies and predict that this company is going to do well over another company. It must be really cool.
But Flax, what's so cool about trading is that it's become something everybody can do. And it's thanks to, you know, platforms like markets.com that everybody, even the people who have a day job, and your day job might be completely different to trading, but you have an interest in this, you can do it.
What did we do before companies that were online and we could trade online? What was the process if you wanted to invest? Where did you have to go?
It was very, very complicated for a long time. I mean, there used to be it used to be restricted to people who had access to the stock exchange. I mean, that's how complicated and ancient this process used to be. Now it's obviously a lot easier, and you don't need to be someone who's, you know, spending your days and nights being obsessed with this stuff, or certified, or belonging to some kind of, you know, organization that gives you an application and eventually allows you to trade. This is now something that's available to everybody. It's one of the best things about being alive in 2023, and you should be doing it. Even if you just dabble, you don't have to spend your life savings. I always say this to people. If you don't have any interest at all, you're missing out, because it's a lot of fun. And it's not like going to the casino. You need to be informed. You need to pay attention. But dip your toe in. Try it out. You'd be surprised at how awesome it is when you check on a share that you haven't looked at for a while, that you maybe bought, I don't know, in a couple of hundred, maybe a couple of thousand rand in, and then suddenly you see it's gone up. It's the best feeling in the world. It's obviously a really shitty feeling when you see it's gone down, but that's what you have to take. A little bit of the up, a little bit of the down. There's no guarantee it's always up.
I remember I had, they weren't shares. They were, I can't remember what they were called, but they were gifted to me by my parents when I was younger. I used to have to wait 4 months to get the letter in the post to see what they were worth.
Yeah, now you can log on immediately. And I've got to say also, markets.com do
unit trusts. Thank you.
Yeah, a unit trust. They've got a very good platform there, which is really easy to use. So you don't have to be the most tech savvy person in the world to figure out what's going on over there. It's actually pretty easy to work out. Flax, you wanted to ask something?
Back in the day, we used to trade share certificates, which were like physical pieces of paper, and now it's all electronic. You would have to, someone bought a thing, you would send it to them. If they lost that paper, they lost the share.
Yes, that used to happen. I mean, they would always have like a ledger in which they'd have the share certificate was your proof that you had it, but they had proof on their end as well. Either way, it's much easier now. But I've actually got a meeting with markets.com a bit later on today, so I'm looking forward to seeing them and catching up properly. Either way, it's good to catch up with you, Flax. It's good to catch up with you, Leanne, and we'll see you guys soon. We'll have more to talk about, awesome. No doubt, this year than any other time. It's never going to get quiet and boring, not on this show. All right, guys, have a happy day and enjoy your Monday, everyone.
See you around.
We will see you later.
Cheers.
Ciao. Bye-bye. CliffCentral.com.